Well, good morning. Here we are. A bit late this week than normal, but better late than never.
Yes, we are better late than never. Maybe some people would say better never than late.
Well, let us know.
Yeah. This is Lucky 13 episode, season 3. Yes, and don't forget you have to hit that like button. You see other podcasters and other video guys, oh, hit the bell and all that. We'll go one step further. Take a look at our website, www.borderpool.org, and see how you can help us to help you. Let's
Yes.
just leave it at that.
Absolutely. We
So
don't
we
want
had
to.
it. Sorry, go ahead. I didn't mean to speak over you.
Oh no, that's okay. I said we don't want to harp the point.
No, we don't. But we have to. We got bills to pay. So just so that our thousand or so viewers, listeners know that that's not bad for a number.
No, that's pretty
We're
darn
like a
good.
little tiny little radio station out in the Midwest somewhere, trying to do their thing.
Well,
It's
unless
not
of
an
course,
advert, by the way. It's just my cup.
oh yeah, no, and this is just a cup that we have. It's not a corporate sponsor.
That's right. Just to be clear. Just to be clear. And so yes, we had an interesting time from the delay of our last video podcast. Much has changed. Much has not changed.
I'm trying to figure out what's changed, really. It's the old saying, same day, different.
Well, what has changed is I have less change.
Well, that's been an ongoing process. It's nothing new, unfortunately.
Well, in today's discussion, as we talked in pre-production, we're going to break this into three blocks. The first block is called affordability. Wherever you may be living, affordability could be a question. Okay. Our second block, we're going to talk about border stuff, which is really what we're always sort of supposed to be talking about on our podcast. But it turns out that the border stuff is really impacting on affordability. And then the third part is going to be whatever strikes us before we run out of time.
Okay.
Maybe we'll tell jokes.
I'd probably use up my repertoire well before the 30 minutes came to me.
Anyway, I know that our Canadian viewers, listeners, are going to be wondering how much our attention was focused on the budget that was brought down by the Liberal slash NDP government.
Coalition.
And there is lots to read about from the banking sector, from the various pundits who talk about this, that we would be basically echoing stuff in the bubble, saying that I think that it was really one which emptied the pockets of most Canadians even more than it did before.
Well, that's true, but we've kind of intimated that on several of our podcasts before that not only our government, most governments around the globe are not looking after their own citizens. They're looking after other people or their own pockets, and it's becoming more and more evident now. And again, you've alluded to it. I don't want to ruin your thunder on that, but what were you saying before pre-production? The latest poll, 87% of people in Canada are dissatisfied with the current government. And then
Yeah.
we got the current government who has brought down that bit of legislation. Well, they didn't bring it down. They're talking about the budget, and the budget is buying people off with their own money yet once again, and raising taxes on the people that are supposedly rich and can afford to pay the taxes. But I think you and I both know that if you can afford to pay the taxes, you can also afford a really, really good tax consultant that will find loopholes that you won't have to pay the taxes. Or alternatively, you'll just put your money into an offshore account and won't pay taxes on it at all. So,
Well, let's say something mean here, because it's really about who pays what. This bunch, the Trudeau Singh group, for lack, you have to really hold yourself back when you get angry over the absolute gaslighting that's going on by this crowd. So, they're talking about how we have to go after the rich. The rich should pay a little more so that everybody gets back a little more. This is nonsense. This is right up there with 8 out of 10 Canadians get more money back than they put in on the carbon tax, which is total nonsense. There's all sorts of places that those who want to challenge us can go on the internet and find why that's a complete and utter fabrication of lies. But here's a question I would pose to the trust fund prime minister that we have, who comes from wealth of the Trudeau family, which, by the way, got most of its money in oil. Just to, if you want to also go into the internet and read up about how daddy made his millions and his family. But here's a question: how much more is this prime minister prepared to pay for the saving of the planet? His money's in a trust fund. I guarantee you that he'll never answer that question. Okay, why doesn't he come out and
There's
say,
also
by the way, I'm also contributing to this quango that we're creating here?
Well, it goes right up there with the latest rumors of his last holiday, where he has taken and put his trust money or trust funds into offshore accounts. So, if it's the old adage, if it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. So if I'm paying all these high taxes, and I'm certainly not in the 1% of the Canadian population that makes gazillions of dollars. But if those people are paying, then why aren't politicians? I mean, we worked in the federal government and we know how things work. And if it's good for the politicians, it's certainly not good for the public service. So this is not new. I don't see it changing anytime in the near future, but you do know that people will find ways not to pay taxes.
Look, people are angry. Okay, you can. It's really something you can feel in the commentary that's made on social media, because that's the 21st century town hall. You read, never mind the bots and the screwballs that are out there. But look, Chrystia Freeland was asked if the Liberal government will help Canadians whose gas prices went up 14 cents, okay, because of the carbon tax. All right, and her response was, well, we had a fair budget that's helping Canadians. Now that's total gaslighting, okay? And by the way, if gaslighting and fraud by this woman was a measurable commodity in dollars, she'd be a billionaire, okay? The inescapable truth is that the majority of Canadians simply don't believe her. Okay, I don't believe her. I'm sure you don't believe her when she says that the budget is fair and is helping Canadians. We're going to build 1.5 million homes or whatever. Sorry.
Well, first and foremost, we're going to get rid of all the post office land and all the armed forces land so that they can have the land to build those houses. So, yeah. But going back to what you're saying, I mean, and I've said it before, how do you know a politician is lying? And the answer is basically quite simple. Their lips are moving. And that's really what this is boiling down to. You've got people who are pretending to lead, doing what they think is best because that's what some puppet master has told them to say, or basically just bringing up the talking points on what they want to talk about without really listening to what the questions are.
Well, one of our followers of the Border Poll Journal, a fellow by the name of Bruce McGonigal, says, is Jagmeet Singh preparing to force a vote of no confidence? He says Canadians in the NDP don't feel Justin Trudeau can get the job done, or is Jagmeet rattling Justin Trudeau's cage or looking for a better backroom deal? That's his question that he posted. And again, I say gaslighting and grandstanding at the same time is what Singh is doing. You know,
well,
Mr. Rolex in his $2,000 suit, that doesn't impress me.
Well, there's two things that come up with that. And one of them is this goes on the flyby news here, is that the current prime minister and the current wannabe prime minister are now attacking leader of the opposition on his anti-union stances. And, you know, the prime minister the man who wants to be prime minister has had a party that was always had its roots and background in the labor movement and the common man. But you're right. When you run around in $1,000 suits and Rolexes and come out of stores with Versace bags and the like, it's pretty hard to see or believe that there's an element of I'm one of you with that. And the second that comes with that is, and I hope I don't get anybody into trouble with saying this, particularly the author of the words, a great writer in my opinion, Rex Murphy. Mm-hmm. If you've never had the pleasure of reading somebody who can put the barbs of truth into barbs, look up Rex Murphy. And he has coined the phrase, most of these people are trying to prove the old adage that you can't suck and blow at the same time. And that's what these guys are trying to do, you know, talking out of both sides of their mouth.
And you know, it's so crazy that there are some things that happened just this past week, which has nothing to do with the financial screw-ups that this gang is foisting on Canadians. It's even the whole business of law enforcement, and it's in total disarray. I thought when they captured the five or six guys, mostly out of Brampton, Ontario, that were part of that big gold heist in Pearson, right? Well, hey, they're doing something amazing. After a year, they finally caught them, okay? A homogenous group, basically, out of Brampton that orchestrated this heist of just tens of millions of dollars in gold, who were also caught buying guns on the black market. Guess what? They're out on bail. Okay. And then Melissa Lantzman, who is the justice critic in the House, asks Arif Virani, who is the liberal justice minister. And he says, that's okay because they had provincial consensus to weaken bail laws. Are you kidding me? Are you serious? These guys, listen, people are thrown in jail for more silly things than this bunch who basically robbed, I think it's $21 million worth of gold. Okay.
Well,
golly gee, they're out on bail. The fact that they were buying guns on the black market, well, you know, it's the bail system that the provinces went along with it. Are you kidding me? You know,
well,
doesn't Arif Virani take a hike?
It's what you said before, and we've talked about it. We've got these people that are flouting the bail system, I guess. But we then, on the other side of that coin, had the leader, or the alleged leader of the Freedom Convoy, who was released on bail and then had a Canada-wide warrant put out for her arrest because she had the audacity to go and talk to somebody else on the Freedom Convoy. Like,
look, you know, I think today's pick on the weakness of the Canadian government, because it is a weak, weak, weak bunch of characters that are running it. Here we had last week again, we've had an escalation of the war in the Middle East. We have the Iranians sending all kinds of missiles into Israel on the week last weekend because Israel, previous to that, had blown up their consulate in Damascus. So it's getting tit for tat. So yesterday or overnight, the Israelis fire a bunch of stuff into Iran, which caused, you know, negligible damage. It's almost like these people have a conversation before they fire stuff at each other and say, you know, we're going to get really angry now this time. This time they're really going to get angry. And what happens is you have our genius foreign minister, Melanie Joly, who says, in the light of the strikes report in Iran and following our meeting this morning, I join my G7 colleagues in urging all parties to work to prevent further escalation. All right. So now here's what I think. The mullahs in Iran, on reading her tweet, began to start shaking in their boots from laughter.
Yeah. Well, you know,
who cares what this person, again, restraint here. Restraint. This person who masquerades in the G7 as having any impact in the global, you know, scene. Come on, are you serious?
We've known that for a long time. We have this illusion that Canada used to have a lot of say or was respected in various circles around the world. But I've come to the conclusion that, well, not only our government, but quite a few governments around the world would not have the wherewithal or the capability to organize a one-house paper route. You know, I mean, we've talked about it before. You know, the adults have got to come forward sometime, but have we reached a point where everything is in such a mess that even the adults in the room are shying away from it? Sad state of affairs when you think of that. But I guess, like I mentioned last week, I'm sure that our grandparents and our parents thought that they were on the, what's that old 60s tune, on the eve of destruction. And yet we somehow always managed to find a way to back off of that. So I guess there's always hope somewhere, and we can only hope that saner minds and better people will come to the light.
Well, you know, I've said this before. I think the mental illness is much, much wider a problem in our society, particularly Western society, and in North American society in particular, because the things that are going on are not normal. Okay. People getting punched out on the street for no apparent reason, people going into Best Buy and kicking over all the TV sets, you know, for no apparent reason. This is a mental illness with a pretty good dash of criminal mentality attached to it, because we have a justice system and a law enforcement system that's been neutered, you know, because they're so afraid.
I would agree. We used to have a justice system, and now we have a criminal system. And what I mean by that is that it's for the criminals, by the criminals, and of the criminals. They sure seem to have a lot more rights than I do.
Well, there's something very weird going on here. And something just came across while we're talking here. From your neck of the woods, Bob, the Trudeau and Jagmeet coalition government refuses to mention the record overdose levels in British Columbia. The feds and the BC NDP governments have basically thrown gas on the fire with decriminalizing and making safe supply available to all those who want to participate. This guy LB and somebody called Dr. Bonnie Henry and Adrian Dix refuse to admit that the provincial illicit drug policies are killing thousands of British Columbians every year, and more of those are kids. Well, isn't that interesting?
Well, and a couple of that was on the news just last night, I think. The correction service unions are just up in arms because more and more cell phones, weapons, and drugs are being able to get into the prison system. A lot of that with drone technology. To the one point, and anecdotally, I'd have to say, people are coming into the correction system clean and going out drug addicts because of the great amount of drugs that are there.
Yep.
Eby, our current premier, jumped on the bandwagon that our neighbors to the south in Portland, Oregon did with legalizing and decriminalizing and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And after a 4-year experiment down there, are backing away, not only in high speed, but changing gears very quickly to get out of this. And yet we seem to have the mentality that, well, we're Canada, we can learn from mistakes. And in reality, we're just repeating the same thing. And I'm sure that'll come to the minds of many of our listeners that, that doing the same thing over, expecting different results.
Einstein. Yeah. Well,
So,
in line with that, I say this just came in. I'm just perusing it. It says that the Liberal government of Canada, and particularly some MP called Maloney, James Maloney, says it's a safe haven for humanity. Meanwhile, in contrast, that over 2,510 British Columbians have died from overdoses in the last year. And almost all of that is not considered a homicide. Okay. So those selling this junk aren't even being charged with any sort of crime, attempted murder, whatever, when they sell lethal doses of this crap to the addicts. Okay. Which probably explains why the overdose deaths in BC are 400% higher than in Quebec, which, by the way, has 60% more people than British Columbia. So something is not right here. Seriously. I mean, there's something in BC with this. And by the way, this guy Maloney is a parliamentary secretary for justice, for attorney general. And we already talked about this Arif guy earlier, who's is a complete numbskull, crackpot with his responses to the questions about, bail and why these thieves crooks in Ontario with the gold heist, are out in the street after buying, guns on the black market. So I don't know what you expect, but British Columbia recorded 170 homicides in 2022, but at the same time they had over 2,300 overdose deaths.
Well, yeah, I know it's
You're living in a real
when are
weird
we
part of
as
the
a
country.
population going to stand up and start demanding better from our governments? And I guess that's really the crux of the matter. I don't care how you vote. Well, I do, but I can't really put my thoughts and my feelings on who you should or shouldn't vote for onto the air. My concern is you get out and vote. And we found that here, particularly in the city that I live in. Municipal voting is one of the least turned out events that we have in our democracy. And yet it is one of the most effective of all your votes. My vote in a federal election is meaningless. It's a drop in the ocean. My vote in a provincial election is maybe a bucket in the river. But when I start to vote at the municipal level, my vote could be the river. We found that out, and we've talked about it before out here. We had 2 elections ago, I think 8 or 9 people running for mayor. And the person that won, by the slimmest of majorities, got to be mayor when only 26% of the population voted. As a result of that, that individual decided that we no longer needed to have contract policing from the RCMP, but we were going to have our own city police force, which then went up to the province and our current attorney general, or whatever he's called now, public safety minister, went along with this and said, well, it's a big city, so it deserves its own police force. And yeah, go ahead and start this debacle. And we're still here 4 or 5 years down the road now into this thing. We've had a change of government locally. And again, only 26 or 27% of the eligible voters got out and voted. So now they're using that as saying, well, this individual that's currently the mayor doesn't have a mandate. Well, they had the same mandate that the predecessor has, but this particular individual went on the platform of that we will keep the RCMP and scrap the municipal police force. And now, of course, we're into the fact here in relation to what's going on, paying for two police forces that are supposed to be making me, as a citizen of this city, feel safe. We have a training facility that cannot put through any more than a couple of classes a year. When the previous mayor said that they were going to have the same 850 members in the new Surrey Police Force up and running, they didn't take into account the training facilities and how long it was going to take to train. They were under the assumption that a lot of the current RCMP members would just repatch over, which is not the case. And as we're going into this now, we're finding out people that came into the organization called the Surrey Police Force are leaving because it's not a great place to work. It's fairly toxic on both sides. We now have the RCMP commissioner and the RCMP union saying our members aren't going to report to a chief constable in Surrey. So as I say, I go back to the same thing. We got a bunch of people that could not orchestrate a one house paper route without getting themselves in deep trouble. And where is this going to end?
The frustration is obviously being reported by, in this case, CTV, about the number of folks who are just done with the leadership. You know, they don't believe them. They know they have no empathy for them. That is, that the politicians have no empathy for the folks that they rule over. And then, you know, things like Jagmeet Singh costing, $500,000 in expenses as the most expensive MP in Parliament. He's talking about, the working class. Well, where did you spend the $500,000 for? Yet you're criticizing the leader of the Conservative opposition, who is the cheapest MP, apparently, according to the House of Commons budget people themselves. He's spent the least amount of money, scurrying around the countryside. So, I mean, these people are so Orwellian in their approach. It's beyond the pale. And you know, as we said in the pre-production, I had yesterday received to show you that it's not just at the federal level, provincial level, right down to the municipality level. These people are shameless about taxing the hell out of the people who have to, you know, come up with the dough to satisfy their crazy projects. So where I live in the municipality of South Huron, this is a little rural county municipality in southwestern Ontario. Okay, we're a small town, 11,000 people. All right. And our water bills have skyrocketed over the past 3 years. I mean, have just gone into orbit. So in December, the last quarter of December, my bill for water and garbage, or as they say in the U.S., trash pickup, was $377.53. Okay. Today, my bill comes in, it has to be paid at the end of the month. It went from $377.53 to $429.95. Okay. This is not chump change anymore.
No. All right?
But the part that gives it away is when you look at the bill, all right, and as I said to you in the pre-production, the actual water bill and the cost is $40.70 for using 22 cubic meters of water over 3 months. All right, $40.70. The actual garbage trash charge for 3 months is $25.27. Okay, so that comes to the princely sum of 65 and change, 65.92, I guess, 97, for the actual 3 months worth of product that I purchased. So what the hell am I doing paying $429.95 for? Well, we have dreamt up all kinds of stuff back in September of 2021 at this town council, right in the middle of COVID, where nobody was paying much attention because we're all locked down and what have you, because that's a whole other story, as you know. So let's see here. Well, we have a debt charge that they've invented. That's 5872. A water-based charge, that's a 111.69. A pipeline debt charge, which is $3.98. A sewer-based charge, which is $137.85. A sewer consumption charge, which is $39.82. And a recycling charge, which is $11.92. That's insane. These are all fees and taxes, okay? Yeah. For stuff, by the way, that no one asked for, okay? This is the same bunch of geniuses that a couple of months ago were going to hoist $1.5 million worth of debt on this 11,000 town population of building a high capacity sewer system for houses that'll never be built. They thought that was a good idea. And we had to fight tooth and nail to defeat that. And finally, two councillors came to their senses because they knew that we're not going to forget come the next municipal election who these people are. Okay. So this is a kind of stuff at the municipal level. These people are out of control. They just don't grasp the fact that working people can't generate enough wealth to keep paying for these harebrained schemes that they keep coming up with. And, you know, buying into programs that, by the way, when interest rates were low, but now interest rates are 5 to 7%. You know, I don't see any rebates coming from the bank. I don't see the provincial or federal government saying, oh, gee, that's too bad that you got screwed over by your municipality. So we'll let you write that off on your federal taxes. Don't do that. So we're in deep trouble here.
We've talked about this, and it goes down to the fact that it doesn't matter what level of government you have in what city, state, province, country, there is ultimately only one taxpayer. And that money comes out of that taxpayer's pocket. And you can make it all fancy and whatever you... But the reality is that eventually, I'm not going to have any more money to give. And, you know, we have to reach that point. I mean, we here in Canada, we were kind of hoping with bated breath that something would come out in the budget about the funding on what we're going to be doing with the illegals or the undocumented or the newcomers or whatever you want to call them that are in this country, who on one side of the breath of politicians are being the problem of our high housing and etc. And the same politicians in the next breath are talking about how we need to bring more foreign workers in. Jokingly, you would say, like, what are we going to do for the average Canadian who can't even afford a house?
Yeah.
Well, jokingly, I said, well, maybe we get them to leave and come back in and apply for refugee status, where at least there would be some kind of guaranteed housing for them. You know,
created the housing crisis in the first place? The same jack wagons that brought in 1.5 million people into Canada and didn't who have no skills by and large. They have no place to go by and large. And you have to house them somewhere. So you basically it's one of those typical liberal things, break it and then we'll say we'll fix it. Well, this is not fixable overnight for starters. And no. You're going to get a whole lot of people real PO'd about this. And then to make things even more disgusting, this man is disgusting. He says that the previous government of Canada, 9 years ago, and the current leader of the opposition and the premiers are responsible for the housing crisis. Are you kidding me? This is the same crackpot that went on in 2015 on how he was going to solve a housing crisis. That was 9 years ago. You know, again, videos don't lie. You can go back and see it. There's nothing done with, fancy CGI. This is real BS that was pronounced over the airwaves 9 years ago. And now this fool is going on about it's their fault. I didn't do anything. I've done nothing. Everything I've done has been perfect. Please give me a break. You know,
well, he's right. He's done nothing.
Yeah. Well, I call bullshit on all that stuff he's done. I'm sorry if it affects the AI screening at YouTube, but this is, you know, we're just done with the lies because there's no point anymore. You know, they're just lies.
Well, you know, and again, it goes back to what has transpired before. I'm sure that this current leader is doing nothing more than what former current leaders have done. The only difference being that there's way more technical superiority on things. Like you said, you know, more people have cell phones, more people are watching for this stuff. So it's more difficult to get away with it. In the past, you could do the same thing, get away with it, because a lot of the people still trusted government or didn't have the cell phones to record it or really didn't care too much. But when you start looking at, I think what we're about 50 to 60% text in this country, that people are going to start to demand more and they expect more. And in keeping with our mandate here at Borderpol, let's start bringing in people that have the skills and the things that we need to make this a better place. I don't want to sound negative, but if a choice has to be between somebody who works in a trade that is going to help build homes or apartments, skyscrapers, whatever it is, versus somebody who may not have that same capability, I know what I would want chosen.
Well, and the polling indicates today that if there's an election held in Canada, this is last night came out from Polling Canada, which is an aggregate of all the different polls. You know, polls don't mean squat unless there's actually an election. But just for fun, Conservatives 206 seats, the Liberals 72, the Bloc 38, NDP 20, and the Greens 2. Okay, which is a supermajority out of the 338 for if there was an election held today, which of course is not going to happen because despite all the gaslighting we're getting from Jagmeet Singh about he has made up his mind about what to do with the, he's not going to vote no. This is pure and utter politics. And it's the worst kind because he's a total fraud when it comes to that stuff.
Well, one is that he's got the mindset that he's doing something good. I forced a medical plan. I forced a dental plan. I forced this and I forced that, and that shows that our support for the government is. And then in the next breath, he's out there talking about, you know, how people can't afford this and, you know, the poor unions and blah 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 blah. So again, Rex Murphy. I just love that man. Mr. Singh.
We're out of time. I hate to say it.
You can't suck and blow with the same.
Well, but they're learning. Hey, I'll see you next week.
We shall. Have fun. There's got to be some good out there somewhere.
We must hope for good. Adios.
Adios.